One of the interesting things about raising pastors' kids is that they notice changes. There was a subtle change this morning on a pulpit. It's been years since we had a pulpit up here on Sunday morning, but I actually was getting dressed this morning and I considered putting on a sport coat also, like throwback Sunday or something. And then I'm drinking something in a cup. The fun thing about drinking in a cup is you have no idea what it is. It could be Mountain Dew for all you know. The one thing you know it's not is broccoli coffee. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to read together the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 2. It is a part of the Christmas story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that you would speak to us. Open our eyes to the marvel of Christmas, that we would be impacted by your word today. Amen. Christmas is a season full of illusions. We have this illusion that the Christmas season in and of itself should bring us joy. Somehow during the month of December, we are supposed to achieve inner tranquility and unbroken family harmony. It's Christmas. We're all going to give each other gifts. We're going to be nice to each other. We're not going to keep fighting with one another. It's a season where everything is supposed to be great and everyone is supposed to be happy. There is, after all, that Christmas cheer and whatever it is I have in this cup. There's figgy pudding. That just sounds bad. But nevertheless, there are people who really look forward to figgy pudding. No doubt they're all from the United Kingdom. There are presents and crackers in the United Kingdom. There is a set of chestnuts roasting on an open fire, hoping that the tree doesn't catch on fire. And there are Christmas carols. All these things which are supposed to put us into the spirit of the season. But there are others who take a different perspective. They see Christmas as a meaningless celebration of an event which never really happened in the first place. The Grinches, who say, "Bah, humbug." But for the believer in Jesus Christ, who reads the Word and comes to Luke chapter 2, we see that the effects of Christmas, one of the effects of Christmas, is the end to illusions. For Christmas is full of illusions. Not the end of illusions associated with the celebrations of Christmas, but the end of illusions which are more deeply rooted, illusions which are far more significant and often lifelong. And so Christmas brings us the end of a historical illusion. There is an illusion that many have adopted of a historical meaningless of life. That if you read history, you see mankind is just on a continual cycle of making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And so there is this historical illusion that life has no pattern, that there's no goal towards which life is heading. But this historical illusion is broken because of Christmas. The idea that life has no pattern is broken because of Christmas. The idea that there is no goal toward which we are headed, towards where the human race is moving, this idea is broken because of Christmas. The idea, the illusion that life is meaningless, that it's just a succession of events that eventually lead to death, is broken at Christmas. It is this historical meaningless illusion which causes us to grab for all the gusto we can get, to buy all we can now because, well, it's all going to fall apart. As a society, we have become disillusioned with life. And nowhere is this seen more clearly than in Christmas. There is a constant movement in society to achieve more, to get more, as though the emptiness of our lives will somehow be filled by having the newest electronic gadget. This historical illusion is shattered by the great Christ event, which we call Christmas. Because of Christmas, we understand that history has a beginning and it has an end, and that along that timeline, God intervened. And it is this intervention of God within history which gives Christians hope for the future. Luke grounds the Christmas event in history. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. You can look it up in the history books or online. You can always trust what you see online. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus when Cyrenius was governor, and God intervened. And because God intervened, Christmas is the end of a historical illusion. Because of Christmas, we as believers cannot be afraid that history is grinding itself along a path leading to the total destruction of a human race. We may be apprehensive, but never desperate. Because of Christmas, we have a rather special view of human history. Christmas assures us that history has an author and a plot, with a meaning, and a meaningful, not a meaningless, end. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God intervened in the course of human events to make His Son a part of them. The end of the human race is not going to come about because of global warming. This historical illusion that we can do nothing about what's happening in the world and that nobody cares is shattered with the Christ event. We know that we are never truly alone. The historical illusion suggests that as mankind gets more and more enlightened, we become less and less optimistic about the future. whether the issues are global warming or the nuclear countdown clock, mankind seems to be drifting towards destruction. Mankind, left on our own, seems incapable of consensus concerning how to handle the crises the world is facing. And when we look at history, it seems mankind has always been incapable of fixing that which ails us. And then the scripture speaks forth. Christmas comes along in the days of Caesar Augustus. A child was born who is Christ the Lord. God has intervened in history, and because of this, we can look forward to a time when He, not mankind, but God, will make all things right. That's not to dismiss the need for us to do our best in terms of the environment, in terms of doing our best to preserve society and preserve civilization. But at the end of the day, it is God who will intervene. It is God who will make things right. And it is a historical illusion to suggest that mankind can fix himself. God has intervened, and He will intervene. There's a second illusion which was shattered at Christmas, and that is the social illusion. We live in a time when it appears that there's a greater and greater diversity between the haves and the have-nots. There's a huge vacuum and void with the two coasts, where Amazon's HQ2 goes to the place which already has thousands of people making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you have the West Coast and the East Coast. And together they are dominating the news cycle. And in the middle of America, it seems like we struggle along. Who, after all, really wants to go to Cleveland? There is this social illusion of the wealthy versus the poor, the haves and the have-nots. It's an illusion of greatness being determined by your pocketbook, the illusion of success being determined by making a six-figure income, the illusion of satisfaction by gathering enough stuff around yourself. It is the illusion of power, the illusion of wealth. And then Christmas comes along to shatter that social illusion. For God chose to come to earth as a baby. This is not logical. This is not what we would expect. In our society, you have political dynasties. How many Trumps are there in the White House? How many Clintons have tried to get in the White House? How many Bushes made it into the White House? We have this illusion of dynasty, and we would not expect that God would send His Son to come to earth to be born in a little town of Bethlehem. Many of you remember news commentator Harry Reasoner. He wrote this: "The basis for this tremendous annual burst of gift buying and parties and near hysteria is a quiet event that Christians believe actually happened a long time ago. You can say that in all societies there's always been a midwinter festival, and that many of the trappings of our Christmas are almost violently pagan. But you come back to the central fact of the day and the quietness of Christmas morning, the birth of God on earth. If this the annual anniversary of the appearance of the Lord of the universe in the form of a helpless babe, if it is the anniversary, it is a very important day. It is a startling idea, of course. My guess is that the whole story that a virgin was selected by God to bear His Son as a way of showing His love and concern for man is not an idea that has been popular with theologians. It is a somewhat illogical idea, and theologians like logic almost as much as they like God. It's a revolutionary thought. It has a magnificent appeal. almost nobody has seen God. And the truth is that among men, the idea of seeing God suddenly and standing in a very bright light is not necessarily a complete comforting and appealing thought. But everyone has seen babies, and most people like them. If God wanted to be loved as well as feared, he moved correctly here. If he wanted to know his people as well as rule them, he moved correctly here. For a baby, growing up, learns all about people. If God wanted to be intimately a part of man, he moved correctly. For the experiences of birth and familyhood are our most intimate and precious experiences. It is either all falsehood, or it is the truest thing in the world. It is the story of the great innocence of God, the baby. God in the form of man. And has such a dramatic shock toward the heart that if it is not true for Christians, nothing is true. End quote. Christmas is the end of a social illusion. God chose a humble maiden to accomplish his incarnation. He chose a carpenter's home, not a kingly palace. He chose to announce his birth to shepherds. He chose Bethlehem and Nazareth. It's like choosing Clifton to have your child born. When you left Nazareth, you were on your way up. Christmas ends the illusion of social snobbery. Christ came as a servant, and we are to be servants. Look at the historical illusion shattered by what began at Christmas. The way to life is death. The way to fulfillment is sacrifice. The way to joy is serving others. At Christmas, the King came in a manger and ended the illusions of what it takes to be great. This Christmas poem and song says it well. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. In such contrast to our social illusions of putting yourself forward, of being in the right place, living in the right town, earning the right money, working for the right company, Christ comes, born in Bethlehem. And he redefined greatness, not in terms of having, but in terms of giving up what was his to serve you and me. Christmas is the end of social illusions. And finally, and perhaps most significantly, Christmas is the end of some religious illusions. It is the end of the illusion that all religions are equal. We live in a society which is pluralistic, where we are to respect the religious perspectives of everyone. And while we respect their perspective, it doesn't make it right. I can respect someone's freedom to believe what they want to believe, at the same time understanding the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says God came as a Savior in Bethlehem. Only in Christianity do we see God walking among men. Only in Christianity do we see God sending His Son to redeem mankind. So the work of salvation rests on His shoulders, and we are merely to believe. Christmas ends the illusion that good people go to heaven because they're good. Good people go to heaven because they believe in Jesus. And bad people go to heaven because they believe in Jesus. Christmas ends this religious illusion. Because of Christmas, we know that faith in Christ is what really matters. The illusion that we can come to God on our own is shattered. For rather than us reaching to God, God has come to us. Christianity is the only true religion, and the difference began at Christmas. God came to us. All other faith systems seek to get to God. They may define God differently, but basically, all other religious systems are merely man's attempt to get to God. In Christianity, God has come to us, Emmanuel, God with us. A Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Our society wants to minimize the impact of Christmas. In our pluralistic freedom of religion society, we have come to accept, at least our society has come to accept all faith systems as equal. As though there is no difference in believing in the Prophet Muhammad than there is in believing in Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Our society wants to take Christ out of Christmas and just make it a winter celebration. We don't want to offend people who don't believe in Christ. I set up our Christmas tree this week. And it, of course, it came in a box because I have a fake Christmas tree. So some of you cut trees down. I don't want to do all that work. I'm looking at the box where my Christmas tree is stored. And it doesn't say Christmas tree. It says sea tree. So I have a sea tree in my living room. The letter C, not the ocean. I spent some time at Lowe's this week wandering around thinking I got to find something that is acceptable for my wife, and every man should buy Christmas presents for his wife at Lowe's. No. I was trying to kill some time. I'm walking around Lowe's looking at their Christmas section, and you know what was missing in their Christmas section? Anything spiritual. Oh, we had Christmas Mickey and Goofy and Peanuts and all these weird things, but nothing about Christ. I found one angel. Our society wants to minimize what happened at Christmas, what we actually celebrate as believers in Jesus Christ, to minimize the importance of what the Bible tells us actually happened at Christmas. He came to live among us, God did. And He came with an eye toward the cross, where He saved us. There's a religious illusion that has many roads to heaven. And honestly, if the road to heaven was constructed by mankind's invention of a means towards that end, there might indeed be many roads to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. And to be fair, it's not what the Muslims say. And it's not what any other major faith system says. For any major faith system says, ours is the right one. And others are left out. There is an illusion among Americans that if you're good enough, you'll make it into heaven. That we can force God's hand by our good deeds outweighing our bad. That at the heart of it all, is the pattern of all religious systems except Christianity. You just have to do the right things if you're a Buddhist or a Muslim. Those are the ways you get to heaven. But in Christianity, we say it's not about what you do. It is about who you believe in. Others say if you do the right things, you're in. If you don't, you're out. Each system just defines the right things differently. Until that day in Bethlehem when Christ was born, a child, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And Christmas shatters that religious illusion because a Savior has been born. And we don't need to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. It is by the love of God shown in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ that salvation is offered to us. There is no getting to heaven any other way. There's no getting to heaven our way. Salvation is redefined. Heaven is not a gift, it's not a payment. Christmas shatters the world's religious illusions. For unto us a child is born, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Salvation comes in Christmas, the free gift of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The month of December throws in our faces a series of illusions. And unfortunately, the roads of illusion, whether it's a historical illusion or a social illusion or a religious illusion, always leads to despair. Until Christmas. Because Christmas has brought an end to such illusions. Gone is the historical irrelevance, the meaninglessness which comes from looking at history and embracing a hopeless future. Gone is the illusion of social greatness, that the color of your skin or the thickness of your wallet is all that matters. Gone is the illusion of getting to God by our own good works, which is good. Because how can we ever know if our works are good enough? Christmas is the end of illusions. Christmas, as we understand it, as believers in the book, Christmas is the beginning of the most dramatic event in mankind's history. For Christmas points us to Easter, which culminates the great gift that God has given us at Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to recognize the great spiritual significance of Christmas. Shatter the illusions that we've held on to inappropriately in order that we might align our life with your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.